Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
I just love that doorman. Good evening once again, folks. It's Madame Perry Salon, and I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry, and I am delighted to have you here. And I want to say, again, I know I've said this before, is that this podcast gets more and more fun and exciting every week. And, of course, it's largely thanks to you for listening and for following, which helps me get fabulous guests and fantastic sponsors. And I'm just very thrilled about that. And just to recap in case you've missed some, because, you know, the episodes are still downloadable at no charge from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher. Not long ago we had, or last couple of months, Greg Dybeck. And Greg is the managing editor of Elite Daily. And he was talking about his book, The Art of Living Other People's Lives. And he made quite an impression on the guests. People are still quoting him to this day to me. Daryl Rhodes, stand-up comic, who's on the road right now. Daryl's show's getting mad downloads. I asked him if he had any idea how popular he is. Chasm Sultan was on a couple of weeks ago. Chasm, you may know from he's a musician, but mostly known as a bass player with bands like Todd Rundgren, Utopia, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Celine Dion, Meatloaf, Blue Oyster Cult. He does a lot of work. He's got his own solo CD out now called Bootleg, and we love Chasm. We want to get that, and he's on tour as well. And also we had Michael Fleeman, a true crime author. And when he was here, he was talking about a couple of his books, but mostly Crazy for You, because that happened in my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia, murder. And, of course, coming soon, we're going to have Allison Arngrim. And she's, if the name sounds familiar but you're not sure, she's an actress. She's right now she's doing a play this month, and then there are one, the Agatha Christie play at the Judson Theater. She's done a lot of commercials, a lot of work, but you may know her because the title of her book is Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. And yes, Allison Arngrim was Little Nellie Olson on Little House on the Prairie, so I'm so looking forward to her. Tomorrow night's Diane Diamond, also an investigative journalist, and I think we're going to get a lot of questions about her book, Be Careful Who You Love, the story about the Michael Jackson case, and also coming up in April, Joe Symes and the Loving Kind, because everybody keeps asking for them again. They're a band, a rock band out of Liverpool. They have been taken under the wing of Noel Gallagher and opening for his High Flying Birds a lot. Just great guys, great music, but they're coming soon. But tonight, I'm super excited about this guest. As you know, you've been seeing me put it all over social media. Reddit and Google Plus and Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook, everywhere I can, Pinterest. Tonight's guest is a best-selling author, speaker, and university lecturer and angel investor. She serves on business, philanthropic, arts, and university boards. Since 1982, she's helped to start and grow 6 successful companies as large as $100 million in annual revenues. She's become successful by implementing spiritual principles into her ventures, and it is her passion to pass her knowledge on to others. She's the author of the best-selling book, The Path to Wealth, 7 Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. So please welcome to Madame Perry Salon, Mae McCarthy. Mae, come on in and find a nice cushion in here.
Oh, thank you, Madame Perry. I'm so happy to be here. Ah, this is nice and comfortable.
Oh, good. I like it. I had a couple of suspense authors in here not too long ago, and they seem to be bringing in some Mexican food and hiding it in the cushions. So I think we got it all cleaned out since then. One of them was Rick Cornell. He's an attorney in Reno, but I guess he moonlight as a suspense author and opera singer. So, you know, we get all kinds of creative types.
I've been to Reno several times, and they have really good Mexican food there.
Oh, well, no wonder he was hiding. He didn't want to share. I have to bring that up to Cornell next time. Uh-huh. Well, so your book has just really skyrocketed, because I think, and I've watched some of your lectures at your talks with people, I think it's because you take a subject, and this is just my point of view, you take something that seems so unattainable and way out there and hard to grasp, hard to do for the regular person, and you break it down into just very simple, common sense, really, spiritual practices.
Right. And, well, you know, the reason I call it spiritual is simply because you can't see this idea of intuition or your subconscious messaging. You know, you can't see where this insight comes from. But it doesn't mean that it's not a tool for success. I mean, if you look at some of the most successful people that of our time anyway, you've got Bill Gates, who says often you have to rely on intuition, and Steve Jobs from Apple actually advised us to have courage to follow our heart and intuition. And I think Oprah Winfrey is probably one of the most influential women of our time, and she said that she has listened to that still small voice of intuition her whole life, and the only time she's made mistakes is when she didn't listen. And, you know, I think all of us have access to this. All of us have recognized when intuition has shown up for us. The problem is that we often recognize it after the fact, where we think, oh, my gut was trying to tell me something, and if I would have done that, I would have had this good thing happen, or I would have avoided this mistake. And so what I hope readers and people that come to my workshops and hear me speak, I hope the thing that they get is that we can actually use a very simple routine to enable intuition to show up more often in more obvious ways, and we can learn to trust it so that it can guide us towards the things that we want in life.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and when you talk about intuition, yeah, it's when people notice after the fact. I've often said that intuition, you know, or what some people call your gut feeling, it's one of those things that you know you've said, everyone has said, you know, I had a feeling, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this, and I didn't pay attention, and yet I have never once said or heard anyone say, you know, I had a feeling I should do it, and I did it, and it was the wrong thing to do. No one I have ever heard say that.
The only times I've heard stuff that's similar to that is when they make a decision when they're in a state of fear. You know, they'll have a gut feeling that's not trying to tell them something positive. And they're in a gut feeling, and they're thinking about, oh, my gosh, what's the worst thing in the world that could happen? I better do this in order to avoid that. And that's never a good place to come from when you're making decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a great point, too. And, by the way, if you're listening and want to call and have a question or want to talk to Mae McCarthy, the number is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. 9922, and that's toll-free anywhere in the continental U.S. And I say that because we have a lot of listeners. I keep getting stats. I have a lot of listeners in most of them in North America, but also in Australia and the U.K. and Bangladesh. I seem to have a big following there. So
I love it.
If you're not, I do too. I think it's very exciting. So anyway, so let's go then to I don't know where you want to begin, except what about what made you, May, want to write a book? With everything that you've done, what made you want to write a book to talk about an unseen universal power that's helped you in life and business?
You know, I've actually been using this routine, this daily routine that is described in my book, for a very, very long time. And in my sixth company, I had a desire to help my employees to see opportunities and solutions beyond their rational mind. What I wanted was a way for my employees to recognize, no matter what was happening, if they stay focused on the goal, which would be a good outcome, you know, what's the outcome that they want for company growth, for customer service, for innovative solutions, things like that. If they stay focused on that every single day, then they would have access to the same thing I've had access to for years, which is this intuitive, beyond your rational mind intelligence. So the reason I actually wrote the book was I was asked by a group of spiritual leaders at a center that I go to. My sister's a reverend there, so I pretty much go to wherever she goes because I like community. And, you know, I have my own daily practice, which I write about in the book, and we happen to be there. And I believe in the idea of a law of giving and receiving. And that means for me, giving to where I'm spiritually fed. And I happen to be very, very successful financially. So I have a formula of my giving as it relates to how much I receive. And I was asked by the spiritual leadership, what are you doing that is making you give so much? I mean, we don't have givers that are your level very often. In fact, I don't think we've ever had one. And, you know, what are you doing? And honestly, I'll be honest with you, Madam Perry, I thought it was a trick question. So I answered very gingerly, well, I'm doing what you teach here. Is that not correct? And they said, no, specifically, what are you doing? And so I said, oh, okay, you want to know what my daily practice is. And I have to tell you, I'm a self-proclaimed efficiency expert, and I really hate to waste time. I have taught hundreds of customer service people and salespeople and other managers and people that have worked for my companies and who have worked for other companies how to take complicated ideas and make them very simple to understand and implement. And so I explained to this spiritual leadership that what I've done is I've taken spiritual principles that are taught in many different kinds of organizations, and I've combined them with this idea of goal attainment strategy 101 and gratitude. And I use a very efficient 25 to 30 minute practice every morning to keep my goals at the forefront of my thoughts. And so they asked me to teach a workshop, which I did. And after about the 500th person had gone through this workshop, because they kept asking me to teach it because we'd sell out every time.
Whoa, the 500th? Okay.
Okay, so after the 500th person had gone through the workshop with good success, a publisher found me and asked me to write a book. So I'm happy to say that the book came out. It made it to number 2 on Amazon's bestseller list in personal finance, which I don't know why, but it did. I thought it was a spiritual book, but
whoa,
it actually made it to number 2 in personal finance. And I have taught this now to thousands and thousands of people all over the country, and I get emails and Facebook posts and all sorts of stuff every single day about how simple this is to implement, and people are, in fact, having the kind of success that they once couldn't rationally imagine. And this is a human condition that Albert Einstein actually wrote about years and years ago. He said all of us have this intuitive mind that's a gift. It's a sacred gift. And we have this rational mind that's a faithful servant. It will do whatever we tell it to do. But somehow in our society, we've created this honoring system. We've decided to value this rational mind, this servant, and we've forgotten the gift, the intuitive mind. And so what this book and what my, you know, talk, I'm booked now out to November this year for speaking and teaching events. But we, what we try to do is help people to remember what they already know, which is that they do have an intuitive mind that's a gift. They just simply need to know how to recognize it and enable it to show up to help them more often. And that's what, you know, I have great pleasure and feel very privileged to be able to share some really simple to implement steps to enable them to use a gift that they already have. So that's why I wrote the book.
That, wow. Okay, that's, you know, even though I've read about you, I've read your book, it still is so exciting to hear it from you, you know, because I feel like I'm riding shotgun sort of, you know, spiritually in a way. But and can you hear me okay? Is my mic?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly. I know I had a little trouble before we started. Okay, good. All right. So what now you talk about things people can do. What three things can people do daily to enable their intuition to help them succeed?
Well, I'm a big believer in repetition reaping rewards. All right. And so what people need to do essentially is keep their goals at the forefront of their thoughts. And so if they hold a meeting with themselves every single day, if they set the alarm for 25 minutes early, it might be a little difficult the first 2 or 3 days, but I can assure you that by the fourth day, you'll be waking up before the alarm goes off because it's a really fun process. And you're going to hold a meeting with yourself. Essentially, there's an intelligence within you that wants to help you. I mean, think about the last time you bought a car. If you're like most people, you go through the process of reviewing what kind of car you want, maybe talking to your friends and your family about it. Maybe you look at all the different models, you narrow it down, and even go to the dealership and test drive them. But you're thinking about this car repeatedly and what life is like when you have that car as your own. You start to imagine what it feels like to drive that car and have that car. Well, don't you start to notice that car driving around everywhere? You never noticed that car before. And that's what we do in this morning meeting process. We are now taking any goal that you have and putting it at the forefront of your thoughts and wording it as though it's already complete. So the three things people can do every morning is to wake up and hold a meeting with themselves. In that meeting, they will write down their goals as though they're already completed with gratitude. They'll read them out loud, and then they'll close their eyes and imagine seeing them. Now, each of these steps, very, very important. When you write out your goals, as though they're already complete, you have to really describe what the end game is. For instance, I spent a lot of time right after the first of the year doing talks on intentions and resolutions and things like that. And undoubtedly, there's somebody that tells me that their goal is that they want to lose 10 pounds. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So think about that goal for a minute. The goal is to be wanting to lose 10 pounds. To be wanting to lose. Haven't they already achieved it? Aren't they already wanting to lose?
I got that.
Why would their intuition and subconscious have to help them with that? So what they have to do is describe what their life would be like if they actually had already lost the 10 pounds. So what they'll say is something like, I'm so grateful that I am now physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, in a healthy, pain-free body that's easily able to move through life with energy and vitality. I love my body. When they do that, it's kind of like what happened with thinking that you own the car before you bought the car. You'll start to notice possibilities of steps that you can take. You might have a strong thought to go somewhere or to be somewhere. I had a goal for good health in 1994, And so I was writing out, I'm so grateful that I am physically fit and trim, healthy. Every cell in my body is filled with pain-free light. I love my, you know, free and easy moving body. And then I was in a business meeting, and I had this really strong thought of my sister's face in my mind's eye. Have you ever had a thought fly into your head without warning?
Constantly, yes, often.
Yeah. So this flew into my mind. Now, I've been practicing this a while, and I knew that that meant I needed to contact my sister. So I happened to be close to her office, and when I got done with the meeting, I just stopped by. While I was there, she was so happy to see me because she had a computer problem that I could help her fix for free. So as I'm sitting at her desk, she noticed this little tiny dot on the outside of my right leg and asked me what it was. And I was raised in Hawaii, and I'm fair, so I have a lot of freckles. And that's what I told her it was a freckle. She said she didn't feel that it was a freckle and asked that I see her dermatologist. Well, I was just about to dismiss her fear and tell her, don't worry, and my gut hurt. Well, that's another way that intuition gives me guidance. So I knew that meant just do as she said. After you practice this a while, you'll know what are random thoughts and which are intuitive thoughts. So I went to the dermatologist. He told me it was nothing to worry about, said I could just go home. And as I was about to heed his advice, my gut hurt again. So I told him he had to cut it off. I came back a week later to a diagnosis of cancer. I had malignant melanoma, Clark's level 3.
Oh.
But it was caught early enough to be completely healed. So intuition, when you write down your goals, in that first step, you want to make sure you write them down as though they're already complete, and you should have a goal in every major area of your life. The second step is to read what you wrote, your gratitude statements, out loud with emotion. And any school teacher will tell you that when you read something out loud, it anchors the meaning more fully within you. What you're trying to do by reading it out loud as though it's already done, you might feel a little fraudulent at first, but keep up with it. When you do that, you're telling your brain, your subconscious mind, that you're serious about achieving these goals. So that helps your subconscious to get on board and point out and illuminate possibilities as well. And then the third step, when you close your eyes and you imagine seeing yourself in the completed goal, you'll pick a different goal every day because you don't have enough time to do all of them. But you want to keep this meeting to about 25, 30 minutes. But when you close your eyes and see yourself in the completed goal, in that healthy body moving through life, with that big bank account, in that perfect job, with that perfect relationship, any goal that you have, see yourself in the completed goal. And I'll tell you, just about any professional athlete will tell you that they set aside time every day for mental training. This is what they're doing. As you see yourself in the completed goal, you're making it more real to you. And as an added bonus, you'll have something better to describe the next day when you write out a new gratitude letter or series of gratitude statements in your meeting. And then you go about your day and you expect and watch for leads, for intuitive insights, for messages through other people and signs and take steps or just ask your source of intuition for another lead if you don't understand something, and you will get one. So that's what you do in the morning.
It sounds like it helps you get your antenna out to hear or to another thing to pick up. And so what you just said, okay, it sounded so, like I don't know why I hadn't thought of it, but yet when you say it becomes very clear. You say, I want to lose 10 pounds. Have I heard it? I've said it all the time. But when you say, I want, okay, well, you've got it. You've got the want.
You already want it.
Then I realized what you were saying. That's what I want. Okay, you want it. You got the wanting of it. But I don't want that. I want to wear some green pants that are in my closet that I'd need to lose 10 pounds for. So that's what I need to be seeing myself in is I can't wait to wear those green pants.
Right. Well, you don't even say it that way. What you ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself, if I lost 10 pounds, what would I be doing? Oh, man, I'd be wearing those green pants and feeling so good. I'd be dancing and moving through life, feeling so light and energized and filled with vitality. I would be skiing or biking or walking or hiking or whatever you're going to be doing after you lose the 10 pounds, describe that. And use gratitude as your anchor. So you might say, I am so grateful that I wear my cute green pants to events and feel so good in them. I feel so beautiful and so happy and free as I move through life with increased energy and vitality in my healthy, pain-free body. I love my body. See the difference?
Yes, I do. Now, I'm going to make this personal, if you don't mind, because I'm lucky enough to have this time with you. I don't want to I want to do this, if you don't mind.
So no problem. In fact, your listeners can call in once a month. I have a free conference call where all I do is help people create their goal statements. For 1 hour, people have me for once a month. The next one's on March 13th. So they can register on my website, maymccarthy.com, in the store. So you take your time. What can I help you with?
And I'll also tell people, and if you want to call in now, the number is 646-716-9922. All right. So I'm enjoying my podcast so much, and I have so many. In fact, somebody just, Janet Goodman, who's listening, just in Georgia, just sent a message saying, you have the best guest.
Nice.
And I said, while you were talking, I answered, yes, of course I have the best guest for the best listeners. Yes, of course. So thank you. So I enjoyed this so much, and I've been so fortunate to have so many wonderful, people that I never thought I'd get to talk to on here. I want Madame Perry Salon to be on Sirius XM. And there, I've said it out loud to the world. That is what I want. So I would say that as
So let me ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Let me ask you some questions. If you were on Sirius XM, what would your show be like? Who would you be reaching? How many listeners? No, you can just write these questions down and then think about them later. So ask yourself the following questions. If I accomplished my goal and I was on Sirius XM, what would my life be like? How many listeners would I have? How would I be serving them? What would my show be like? Where would it be played? How many sponsors would I have? How much money would we receive? Ask yourself what your life is going to be like after you reach your goal. And then come up with some powerful statements to describe that with gratitude. I am so grateful that I now reach a minimum of X number of listeners in X number of countries worldwide, and my show serves them by bringing them valuable information through exciting and fun guests, and that we are able to raise X number of dollars with X number of sponsors and accomplish our mission of, my mission is to elevate prosperity and freedom for all, so you have to figure out what yours is. I'm sure you have one. But that kind of thing, describe it as though it's already done. What's your life like after you achieve it? Start being grateful for that.
All right. Okay. So
your job is to figure out what it is that you want. Describe it as though it's already done with gratitude. Your intuition, your source of intuition, has a different job, and that's to create the path and to give you one intuitive step to take at a time to get there. You may feel called to drive across town to a grocery store only to run into the person that makes the decisions about Sirius XM shows. I mean, you never know. I drove across town at 9 o'clock in Cleveland to get a $500,000 contract. I mean, that was just bizarre.
Yes. Told me, I thought, wait a minute. I think that happened. Now, Mae McCarthy, how would you know about that? So, but you had a story that really happened to you.
Oh my gosh, it happens to me every day.
And it was out of your way to go to the store.
I get intuitive messages through other people. I've gotten them on billboards. I get gut instincts, thoughts to go places or call people. I mean, I had this one woman, she's in her mid-50s, and she wanted a sound retirement plan. She didn't even have a savings account. And she started writing out her really powerful goal attainment statements every single morning, reading them out loud, and imagining her life with a sound retirement plan that easily took care of her financially for the rest of her life. So she started doing that. And after a little while, as you know, a few days went by, and she got this very strong thought of a woman she hadn't thought of in like 15 years. And she couldn't remember how they left the relationship. You know that feeling? Like, uh-oh, mm-hmm, what happened? Mm-hmm. Can't remember. So she felt so uneasy about calling this woman. And what she did was say, source of intuition, and she had her own name for her source of intuition. Mine is the CSO. But she just said, you know, source of intuition, I need another lead. What you're not allowed to do is do nothing. So she followed my advice, and she asked her source of intuition for another lead. And over several days, this woman kept popping into her head. So finally, she just gave up and said, okay, I'll contact her. And she tracked her down and called her up. And the woman was so nice. Oh, my gosh, she was so happy to hear from her. And as they were talking, my friend was asked, you know, why did you call me? And she said, well, I'm starting a new prosperity program, and it says when we get intuitive insights, we need to take action. And you kept coming to mind, and I don't really know why I'm calling you, except that you kept coming to mind, and I needed to call you. And she said, well, tell me about some of your goals. So she mentioned that she wanted a sound retirement plan. And the woman said, you're kidding me. I just put together a group of women that all work in finance, and we're meeting once a month to discuss retirement plans and to invest together. Do you want to come join our group? So several months go by, and the woman calls me, and she says, hey, you probably want to know what happened. I said, I do. She says, well, I went to the group. They were so nice. And she said, Mae, over the last couple of months, I have gotten thousands and thousands of dollars worth of free advice. I have put together a very cool retirement plan and would never have been able to do that without these women. And I'm learning a lot about investing. I never knew that before. But the best part is I got a whole new group of friends that I would have never run into. They would have never crossed my path. And now I get to be with them once a month, and we talk during, you know, between meetings as well. This is so cool. So it works. You might get a thought to call someone, or an idea to go somewhere, or do something. When you get a thought or a feeling to take action, take the action. But if you feel scared or uneasy, just do like my friend did. Just simply ask your source of intuition for another lead, and you will get one.
So, and which is, it should be easier for us as women to stop and ask directions from our intuitive source.
You'd be surprised. I just got we have a private Facebook group for anybody that's using this practice, that's read the book or been to my workshops. And there was a guy that didn't have a job for 4 months, and he just posted in the last couple of weeks saying that he got this thought to go somewhere, ran into a guy that he used to work with years ago who had left and gone to a different company and since then had changed companies again. As he's in the conversation with this guy, he says, you know what, you'd be perfect for the company I left, called the president of that company. And that president called this guy to come in for an interview and gave him a job. 4 months he'd been without work and not able to get any interviews, and now he has a job paying him more money than he ever got paid before. All because he followed an intuitive gut feeling to go somewhere, and he ran into this guy. It works.
Yeah, I can dig it. Well, now, I just want you to know that I've already picked out my, okay, back to me, and I'm not that kind of person that's always back to me, but back to me, you know.
Oh, let's
go
back to you.
Okay. I saw a nice pantsuit on Pinterest last night, or a couple of nights ago. So what I've decided every night, I'm wearing that suit when I'm called to speak in front of a big group of people, and I'm introduced as the host of Madam Perry Salon on Sirius XM Radio. So
I
don't know.
Love it.
Am I there? Am I working on it? Am I getting a part?
Yeah.
Some pieces?
Well, just but take the time every single morning to write out, to follow the steps that are outlined in the Path to Wealth book. Write down your goal as though it's already complete with gratitude. Be grateful that you are speaking in front of those giant audiences in that gorgeous pantsuit, by the way. It looks awesome on you. And and
thank you,
that
darling.
And that you're reaching, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people with really valuable and helpful information.
Well, thank you, because I'm writing that down, and I'm just, you're getting me charged up here. You talk about,
well, that's the cool thing about this practice is every morning when you're done visiting your goals and following the steps, you're just flying because it's so exciting. I mean, it's so exciting. This is what business people do on a daily basis. We look forward. We project what our sales are going to be like. We project what our growth is going to be like. You can apply those same success principles to any goal that you have in your personal life, and it's fun. It's really fun. So I'm so glad that you're feeling charged up, because I already know that I'm going to be listening to you on Sirius XM.
So you're already making this, giving me different ideas and different ways of looking at it here. Now, what is, I've heard you talk about neural pathways in order to attract success.
Right.
Can you break that down to somebody like me?
I can. Neural pathways are related to beliefs and behaviors. In our brain, we have some neural pathways that are very, very, very strong. They're almost like little grooves in our minds. And that's why you can hear some people say they sometimes feel like they're stuck in a rut. They truly are. They're stuck in a belief and a behavior that they've developed over a lifetime. Now, the good news about that is through repetition, we can create stronger neural pathways that represent different beliefs. The belief that we can be on Sirius XM radio, the belief that we can have that big bank account, that cool job, that right relationship, that healthy body. Okay, and repetition is the key in building these stronger neural pathways. I want you to imagine for a moment that you see a field of grass that's up to your hips. Okay, if you walk through that field of grass one day and come back the next day, you might not be able to see where you walked, right? But if you walk the exact same path every single day, you're going to start to notice the path. And if it's dirt, you know, you'll even see a little bit of a groove from your repeated walking. That's kind of an analogy of what we're doing when we're using repetition of this practice that I describe in my book. We're strengthening a new neural pathway that will tie to a belief. And let me explain to you how this works in a real life example. I have a friend of mine, and she is a scientist. She's a research scientist and works for a cancer group. And she came to my workshop, and she was all fired up. She wanted to be a paid singer. Now, she had been singing at family events ever since she was a little girl, and everybody says she has a good voice. And when she was in college, they'd all go out for karaoke, and she's always invited to sing because she has a fabulous voice. She truly does, and she loves to sing. So she's writing out that she is a successful singer and being paid for it and entertaining audiences and blessing them with her gift, and that they're appreciative and she feels valued and loved, okay? Well, about 2 months go by, and she called me up, and she says, "Ma'am, I'm going to give up on this goal." I said, "Why?" She says, "I'm not getting any intuitive insights on steps to take. Maybe it's just not the goal for me." So I started to ask her a little bit about her past. I said, "Did you ever think when you were a kid that you actually wanted to be a professional singer?" And she says, "Oh, yes." And I told my family that, and my parents told me that was foolish, that that was a terrible idea, that what I needed to do was sing as a hobby, but go to college and get a sensible degree and a real and reliable job. And I said, "Let me explain neuropathways. You have a very strong belief that has been created since you were a little girl, and that is to be paid for singing is foolish. So use this repetition process as part of the way to build this stronger belief that it's possible for you to be paid for singing. In addition, to accelerate you achieving your goal, go out starting today to find stories about other people that are paid singers, other ordinary people that are getting paid to sing. Go to events and meet singers that are playing at, you know, at small clubs or at charity events. Go anywhere that you can meet them and learn their story. Make what they're doing familiar to you so that you can develop the belief that it's possible for you to achieve the same thing." So she did that. About 4 months later, she found herself at a charity event. She's at this beautiful mansion that's and the people are raising money for the Cancer Research Center. And she looks over in the corner and sees a trio playing. So she scoots over closer, 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 and she's watching the woman singer. And she starts to believe, "Wow, I'm as good as she is. I could do that." Bam, she now believes it's possible.
Ah.
Right then, her brain took intuition off mute. And she started getting intuitive messages flowing in like crazy. And one of them led her to another event. And at this event, it was almost like somebody put a spotlight on this guy across the room, and he weaved through the crowd and came right up to her, stuck out his hand and said hi and introduced himself. During the course of the conversation, he mentioned that he had just been asked to put on a community event at the community center and that he has a budget for entertainment. Well, her gut is yelling at her, "Tell him you're a singer. Tell him you're a singer." And so she blurts that out. And he said, "Great. Come and audition." She auditioned and got her first paying part.
So
repetition and making what you want familiar by reading other people's stories and meeting them, by getting familiar with other people achieving the kind of success that you want, will accelerate the time for you to achieve your goals. So what you might do is start finding other people that are hosts on Sirius XM and learn that if they could do it, you could do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And
a good story, though, huh? I love her.
She's
now singing. I know. She's singing part-time all over the place. And she still loves being a scientist because, you know, it's fun to save lives. But she's got all the part-time work she wants and is really enjoying herself.
Well, let's go ahead and say her name right here.
No, I can't do that.
No, okay. You don't want to out her. Okay, you just want to give her a little free.
No, I can't do that.
Okay, don't want to out. Okay, I understand that. But fantastic, because that's not an easy thing to do. To make that decision, you know, I really want to sing and I want to go ahead and do it. That is not easy, and that is marvelous. And I'm sure her soul, because I believe, and this is just me, I believe that if your soul, if you've got the ability and the gift to do things like this, whether it's singing or art, or architecture, or something, any kind of skill like this that's your gift to do. I think if you don't do it, I think part of you, part of you just sort of withers inside.
Right. But if you've created beliefs that are really strong and tied to those strong neural pathways that are contrary to the goal that you want to have, mm-hmm. you know, then it may take a little longer for you to achieve the goal, but keep up with the practice. As you use the daily practice to keep goals at the forefront of your thoughts and go out and meet other people to make what you want familiar, it will accelerate the process. I have countless numbers of stories in my book that describe just that same thing happening with great success for people.
Is this what, and maybe I'm going ahead, is this what you call, you claim that people can jumpstart their good?
Right. Well, jumpstarting things. Your good is another technique to accelerate receiving. Jumpstarting your good is really acts on the law of giving and receiving, okay? As you give, you receive. So if you're feeling like you don't have a whole lot of appreciation, start calling, texting, emailing, or talking to one person, just one person every day, and let them know how much you appreciate them. If you feel like you're lacking time, find one person who is as busy as you are and offer to, you know, pick up their groceries when you go to the grocery store or run an errand for them or take their dog for a walk. Do something to give what you want to receive in return. I have this woman, she was an accounting manager. She attended one of my multi-week workshops. And she told me that she was thinking about, you know, getting a new job and using this practice for a new job. And so I asked her, I said, why? She says, I'm not appreciated. I mean, I have all these employees, we're the accounting department, and we never get any appreciation, ever. And I don't like that. I want to work for a company that I feel appreciates me. And I said, well, why don't you start giving appreciation and describe what your life is like if you had the perfect job and you felt appreciated? So she used the daily practice for her goal attainment practice. And she started to contact at least one person every single day and just say, you know, I thought of you and I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. She did that for a couple of weeks. And her assistant came into her office and said, hey, we've got to go, you know, get you down to the meeting with the VPs. And she said, okay. So she comes out of her office, and all of her employees are in this sea of cubes, you know, office cubes right outside her office. And as she was turning to go left down the hall, coming down the hall towards her is one of the vice presidents. He drops to his knees in front of her and starts flailing his arms in homage. And all of her employees pop up over their cubes to see this. And he's saying, thank you. You and your department saved us thousands of dollars by catching that error. Oh, my God. Thank you. We are so grateful for you.
Oh,
she felt appreciated, and so did the rest of her department. So jumpstarting your good is giving what you want, giving some sort of representation of what you want to receive in return. If you feel like you want more money, give money, even the smallest amount of money. If you belong to a spiritual organization that, you know, wants you to tithe, you know, make a commitment that you'll give on unexpected income, you know, over and above your paycheck, until you prove to yourself that there is a actual law in this universe that is giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, I've got a couple, just a few more minutes with you, and I know, but there's a couple of things that I really want to ask. One thing, since we're getting all this good stuff from you, and by the way, for everybody that's listened, If you want to get in touch with Mae McCarthy and find her website, maymccarthy.com, I have got it, links to it on everything I've got. Twitter. And thank you for, we've both been sharing this on Twitter and Facebook, Tumblr, and everything else. So wherever you find me, you'll find links to Mae McCarthy's website and information. What is the fraud factor, and how do we overcome that?
Yeah, the fraud factor is what I described, that the scientist, the research scientist and singer was experiencing. When she said that she didn't get any intuitive leads, you know, she didn't get any intuitive messages, so she was going to give up on her goal. She felt like a fraud because she wasn't getting any indication that she should take steps to achieve her goal. And the way that we overcome that fraud factor is through repetition and making what we want familiar and welcome into our life.
Well,
sounds like your phone's ringing.
I think it's somebody's trying to call the show, but they're calling the wrong number. No, Vincent, it's the other number. If you want to talk to Mae McCarthy, it's 646-716-9922, sweetie. And so that's the fraud factor. That's how to overcome it. And you talk about, and this might have been the same with the story about the lady with the accounting, that headed the accounting department, giving forth and forgiveness.
Well, actually, that's step seven in the daily practice. My book, you know, has seven steps for financial abundance, but really my definition of wealth is to be whole and complete, lacking nothing in all areas of your life. So that's not only your finances, but the use of your skills and talents in work or volunteering or however you use your talents, your relationships, your recreation, your health, any area of your life, being whole and complete and lacking nothing is my definition of wealth. So the step seven is the giving forth part of the practice. And this happens right before you go to sleep at night. So throughout the day, you've been expecting and watching for leads. And when you get a lead and you want to take a step, you celebrate because you know your partnership with your source of intuition is working. At night, what we have to do, I mean, I want you to think about a bottle of water right now. If that bottle of water is filled to the brim, you can't fit any more water in it. You have to pour some out in order to have room. Well, that's what step seven does. At the end of the day, we are going to use step seven to remove anything that's within you that's taking up room and not serving you. That would be anger, doubt, fear, pain, resentment, unforgiveness. We're going to remove that and put it over here on the side, so that you have room to receive the good things that you want. And that happens by reciting a giving forth prayer that's in my book. The step seven happens in two parts. The first part is just to lay there and say, thank you. Thank you for all the parking spaces I got in front today so I didn't have to get wet. Or thank you for whatever comes to mind. Whatever comes to mind that happened during the day, say your gratitude statements out loud. Thank you for the opportunity to be in Madame Perry's salon and sharing my hope and my dream that everyone is able to elevate their prosperity and freedom through using some simple tools. So whatever you're grateful for, just rattle it off. You don't have to use notes. Then the second part is to recite the giving forth prayer that's in my book. And when you do that, you don't have to believe the words. They still work. It's not, that prayer is also not condoning anyone's behavior from the past. You know, some really painful and unjust things have happened in the past. So this is not condoning anyone's behavior. This is simply because we need to make room within us in order to be able to receive more of the good things that we want. So we have to use this prayer to make room to receive
good. Okay, I follow you now. May, I've got a friend, Vincent Levy Bright. He's a filmmaker and musician, and he's just called in. He's in here with us now. Vincent.
Hi. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening? I love that advice. All righty. I love that advice. It's awesome. I cannot wait to read your book. I'm a filmmaker, and I'm embarking to do a Kickstarter, and we are organizing, pre-organizing and over-organizing and an international effort of people to kind of just channel the funds and raise the funds and, you know, point everything to the URL on that whole nine yards. And just wondered if there are any pointers you may have as far as marketing.
Wow. Well, do you have a lot of access on social media to...
Yes.
Excellent. Well, that's, you know, just lay out what your vision is. Make it really, really clear. And you can even use some of the advice that Madam Perry and I have been talking about tonight, which is, you know, describe when this project is completed, how is it going to benefit the
right.
viewers? How is the world going to change as a result of it? What do you hope to accomplish? Make that vision really clear to everyone you can touch on social media, so that they can see. It's like you're taking them to the top of the mountain and showing them the view of where they're going to be once this is completed. That's the best thing, because as you can help them to see your completed vision, you're more likely to get them on board with supporting it.
Oh. I like that, May. I like. And may I say, too, we've also got somebody else who's come in the room here, and this is everyone else. Well, stay with me just a minute, Vince. This is my BFF, Kenya Colbert, host of Everything Relationships on Blog Talk Radio. And Kenya, you're here with Vincent Levy and May McCarthy and me.
Hi, Kenya.
Hi, Kenya. Vincent. Hi, May. How are you guys doing? I love the show. I am enjoying every second of it. Great job.
Well, thank you.
The energy is really positive. I mean, I love just thinking of the wealthy living, not even talking about money. I love that. Love the title as
right.
well.
Right. It's all in the attitude. It's all in the attitude. It's in the walk. Just don't do the talk. Do the walk. The walk has got to go with it. And that's part of what attracts all the other stuff, you know?
Yes, definitely. Hi, Vincent.
I want to say, too, before we end, is that once a month, May McCarthy has a monthly free conference. This month it's on March 13th.
Yep, from 5:30 to 6:30 Pacific.
And when is that now?
Yeah, and people can go to my website, maymccarthy.com, and click on the store tab, and you'll see free conference call, and you can register then and get the call-in number. But what I do is I give an hour of my time. What was happening is I was getting emails and Facebook questions and Twitter questions and all sorts of stuff that were coming in almost every day, and I thought, I don't have the bandwidth to respond to each and every person every day.
Yeah.
So what I decided to do is just give up an hour where once a month I'm on a call, and I am there to be of service. I am there to serve whoever calls in, and I'm happy to help you craft goal attainment statements, to talk to you about your goals, kind of like what Madam Perry and I did tonight, where we you know, help you to really stay focused on what it is that you want, what you want to achieve, and what that looks like as an end result. And any other questions you have about the practice, or happy to be available and be of service during that hour. So once a month, I'm there, and you can get the call-in instructions by registering at my store at maymccarthy.com. And also for your listeners, Madam Perry, if they go to maymccarthy.com, they can also download the first three chapters of my book for free.
Oh,
awesome.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, I was saying earlier that Janet Goodman was saying, you have the best guest. She was messaging that earlier, and I go, yeah. Okay, thank you so much. And thank you for everyone that's listening. Mae McCarthy, you are fabulous. Thank you so very much. I knew you would be wonderful, but this has even exceeded my expectations. So grateful you're here. Everyone go to maymccarthy.com. And also, like she said, go to her store. If you're a listener on Madam Perry Salon, you get to download the first three chapters for free and to let her know. But also register for this conference call. She does it once a month. I mean, you heard me turn this into my own private session this month, and I don't know if I'm going to hear from her publicist tomorrow wanting some money from me. I think that they're going to be pretty cool with it already. They're pretty cool. They're a pretty nice bunch.
Well, they know that I'm living my purpose, which is to elevate prosperity and freedom for all. So they'll be cool with it, I can assure you.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. So thank you so very much. And don't forget to listen to Kenya Colbert. Her new time is Sunday, 5:30 to 7:30 Eastern for Everything Relationship. Vincent Levy Bry, you got your film coming up. Tomorrow's Diane Diamond talking about Be Careful Who You Love inside the Michael Jackson story. Mae McCarthy, we love you. And we will be going to your website and checking it out very, very soon. Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
All right.